Warm email prospecting is designed to teach you how to effectively reach out to prospects who don't know you. And I show you how to do that with very short, relevant, and personalized email messages. But there's another way that I've used warm emails to land new work, and that's by using email to reach out to current and past clients. Now, you might think, well, what's the point of doing that? Why would my approach be any different than just emailing your clients and just asking if you can somehow help them? Well, just like you have to do email prospecting right when you're approaching people who don't know you, you also have to do email prospecting correctly with your clients, whether they're current, past, or dormant. And here's the great thing about approaching these clients for project opportunities. These people already know and trust you. So that obstacle is out of the way, which means that you can often go from having zero work in your schedule to being booked solid in just a matter of hours. And that's no exaggeration. I've done it myself many times using the ideas and approaches I'm going to show you here. In fact, I've generated more than $60,000 in income over the past 4 years or so just from applying these simple techniques that I'll be sharing in this particular two-part strategy. Now, as I've alluded to already, the key to success is how you approach these clients, and simply asking or begging for work is just not going to cut it. And if anything, that will repel even your biggest fans. So what you need to do to uncover opportunities is use smart and ethical techniques. And the techniques I'm going to share with you may not sound all that innovative on the surface, but I guarantee that most of your clients don't get approached this way very often, the way I'm going to show you in this lesson and the next lesson, the second part of this particular idea. So make sure to try them out for yourself, give them a chance, and you'll see how powerful they can be. Now, before we get into the details, it's essential that you understand the psychology behind many of these ideas, because even the slightest deviations in how you use them can really alter their effectiveness. First, let's talk about what most people do. When following up with clients to see if there are any work opportunities on the horizon, most freelancers resort to what I call the just checking approach. Their calls and emails go something like, "Hi, Bill, Pam Stevens here, checking to see if you have any projects coming up that I can help you with." And, you know, that's okay, but there are still several problems with this approach. And the biggest one is that it implies that you have a need and you need the client to help you out. There's no implied value and you're offering no reason as to why you'd like to have the work. And that's a mistake, because research has shown that in many cases, offering even the simplest reason for your request will dramatically increase your chances of success. And there's a fascinating book out there called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. And it was written by a guy by the name of Dr. Robert B. Cialdini. And if you don't already own a copy, I suggest you grab one. It really is a fantastic book. All right, so in this book, Cialdini cites an experiment conducted by Harvard social psychologist Ellen Langer. And in this experiment, Langer approached people waiting in line to use a copy machine at a library with the following simple request. "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use a Xerox machine?" Only 60% of those in line agreed to let her cut in line. And that's not a surprising result, right? I mean, somebody comes up to you with that kind of request, you probably may not let them. I don't know. So she tried a different approach. She figured, let's try different variations of this. And she repeated the question to other groups, but this time she added a reason for her request. And here's what she said. She would say, "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use a Xerox machine because I'm in a rush?" Here's a surprising part. 94% of those who she asked, let her skip ahead of them in line when she offered a reason. Now, at first glance, it may appear that the quality of the justification, "because I'm in a rush," made all the difference. But here's the cool thing. When she tried this again with a third group of people and a modified version of this question, the results didn't vary. And here's what she was asking the third group of people. "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use a Xerox machine because I have to make some copies?" So in that variation of the experiment, you see that there was really no good reason, but 93% of those in line complied. There was absolutely no reason other than the obvious need to make copies. So question is, what was the key to getting compliance? The key was the word "because." So Cialdini goes on to explain that the word because, or even offering a reason for your request, doesn't have to, you don't have to use the word because, just offering a reason, it triggers a mechanical response in most of us. And that's an extremely important lesson and something you need to be aware of. So as I go through these techniques in this lesson and the next one, keep in mind that offering justification is a key component of successful email prospecting with past and existing clients. You'll see what I mean when we get to the examples. But, you know, at this point, I do want to point out that in a way, your meaningful connection that you've been using in your traditional warm email prospecting efforts that we've been talking about so far are still about offering justification. Meaningful connections imply justification. So keep that in mind as we go through this. All right, so let's go through the first technique, which is called going on vacation. And this technique is extremely effective and can have the extra benefit of generating enough income to actually help you pay for your next vacation. It can also help you have a more enjoyable time off and a better time adjusting when you do come back. And to explain what it's all about, let me tell you the story of how I discovered it. So a few years ago, I decided to take 2 weeks off in July. And rather than wait until early July to let my clients know that I wouldn't be available later that month, I contacted all of them in early May, and I gave each of them plenty of notice and encouraged them to look at their project queues to see if I could get started on something. Now, to be honest, I wasn't expecting much out of this effort. You know, my real motivation was purely to avoid the stress of coming back home to a long list of project-related emails and a bunch of urgent requests. But instead, something really interesting happened. Two of my clients emailed me back and asked if I could start on some work immediately. Well, it turns out they had a few things they had been putting off, and rather than wait until the last minute, they figured this would be a good opportunity to get the project started while I was still around and available. Well, the end result was landing a $5,000 project, actually a series of projects, all worth $5,000 in total. This ended up filling a gap in my schedule, and it helped me avoid the stress of dealing with new project requests right before leaving town. You know, if you've ever been in that situation, you know how stressful that can be. Plus, the extra cash came in really handy while I was away enjoying my time off in Lake Tahoe. And of course, my clients benefited by getting the work in on time. So it was really a win-win all the way around. Now, you have to be careful and ethical when using this tactic. So don't make up a story if you're not really leaving town, if you're not really going anywhere, if you're not really taking time off. Use this only when you're really scheduled to be away on vacation. Also, you need to plan ahead. So you don't want to call 10 days before you leave town. That's too short a notice. Try to contact your clients 30 or 60 days before your trip, or even sooner, or even earlier if your typical projects take a long time to complete. So what would a warm email script look like for a situation like this? Let me give you an example. Subject line would read, upcoming vacation. Hi, Don. Just a heads up that I'm going to be out of town on vacation from July 1st to the 16th. I know you had mentioned that you had a few projects you were planning on starting soon. If you're ready to jump on those before I leave, I'd be happy to put them in the schedule. If not, that's fine too. Just thought I'd let you know that I'll be away at that time. Please let me know either way when you get a minute. Thanks, Ed. It's simple, to the point, 88 words total in this actual example. So let me give you another variation of this script. Hi, Don. A quick note to let you know that I'm going on vacation from 7:19 to 7:29, and I have some availability between now and then if you have anything you'd like for me to work on. You had mentioned a work order and service brochure in the email below. Hope you're doing well. So, by the way, this is the actual email script that woke me up to the effectiveness of this approach. I actually found the email. I don't know how. I still had that email from way back. And that's what I just showed you. I didn't alter it at all. And here's what I did. So as you can probably tell from the way the script read, I had taken an email that the client had sent me regarding some projects he was considering, and I replied to that email about a month later. This is way before I was leaving town, right? So I had already replied when he sent that originally, but I decided to specifically address the potential projects that he had mentioned when I sent my second reply. And as I mentioned earlier, it worked out really well for both the client and for me. All right, so technique number two is called the delayed project. Have you ever had a client award you a large project or ask you to block off a few weeks in your schedule for a major assignment and then put it all on hold at the last minute? Man, if you've had that happen to you, it's pretty frustrating. And really, it doesn't have to be. So I found that a big unexpected opening in your schedule can give you a great reason to contact other current and past clients. Again, justification. That's what you need. In fact, every time this happens to me, and it doesn't happen to me that often, but when it does happen, rather than let that availability go to waste, I'll often just contact another client, explain the gap in my schedule, and ask if I can help them complete a project in the queue. So a couple of years ago, I had a longtime client award me 3 very large projects, but then they put them on hold just a few days before I was scheduled to start working on them. I immediately contacted 2 other clients via email, and within a few hours, I had filled more than half of that gap. 2 weeks later, I filled in the rest, and while I was actually wrapping up that newly found work, the original client came back with those 3 large projects and was ready for me to get started on them. So what would a warm email script look like for a situation like this? Well, let me give you an example. The subject line could read, "I'm available next week. Hi, Lisa. I was about to start working on a large project with another client, but it just got put on hold for at least a month. So basically, I have a big slot in my schedule. I know you had mentioned some case studies you needed to get written soon. I'd be happy to jump on those if the timing is right for you. Just let me know either way if you don't mind. That way I won't let that opening go to waste." So, and again, all these scripts are in your handout for this lesson, but notice here that I'm providing the reason or the justification for my request. You'll also notice that it's got a conversational voice, and it's calm, it's professional, yet it's very personable. You want to avoid coming across as a desperate or anxious person. And you want to show the client what's in it for them, which in this case is to be able to get a project out of the way sooner than expected. The third technique or idea is helping your clients plan ahead. So here's the deal. Clients are busy people, right? And it's gotten worse over the past few years with all the layoffs that have left many of them just doing work that used to take 2 or 3 people to complete, but now one person's got to do it all, which partly explains why so many of them come to us as freelancers with last minute needs, like, you know, I need it yesterday type requests. It's not necessarily that they're poor planners. They just have too many plates in the air. So as a freelancer, one thing you can do is you can take some of this burden off your client's shoulders by helping them plan better. So let's say that if you know that a client's busy season is coming up soon, reach out to them and ask them how they're planning to tackle the work and see if you can help with some preliminary work. But let's say you're a graphic designer and you know that one of your clients will soon be going through a major rebranding effort. If you know you're about to have a few weeks of idle time, why not discuss his availability to see if you can start working on some initial tasks? Or maybe you're a writer and you have a client who usually hires you to write a white paper about once every quarter. Well, you could mention your upcoming availability and see if you can start work on the next piece as a few weeks sooner. Fall for me, the autumn, is a busy season for me as a freelancer. So a couple of years ago, I was a bit light on work coming out of the summer season. And what I did is I contacted one of my clients just in August, so early on, to see if I could get a better idea of what they were planning and when they might need my services. My reason for asking was that I was trying to plan ahead for what is also my own busiest time of year, because it really is. Well, that inquiry triggered a discussion about a couple of specific projects, one of which we realized we needed to start on right away. And it was a very nice $1,500 project that I probably wouldn't have seen for weeks had I not approached them. So again, it's critical to be honest when you use these techniques. The idea is not to manufacture something that's not true or not based on honesty. Not only is that unethical, it's also going to come across as a bunch of baloney too. So it never fails. Don't try it. That leads me to another important point. When approaching clients with these questions and proposals, you have to sound confident and professional. So don't come across as if you're scared or as if you need some work from them in order to make the next mortgage payment, that sort of thing. Remind yourself that you're not asking for charity here. You're bringing good ideas and an excellent service to the client, and you're helping make their jobs easier. So let's look at an example email script that you could use here. Subject line reads, "Planning ahead, dot, dot, dot. Hi, Angela. I know fall is your busiest season. It's mine as well. So I thought I'd reach out and see if I could get a better idea of what you're planning from a content development standpoint and when you might need my help. Just try to plan ahead so I can be there for you when you need me." So you'll notice a couple of things. It's a very friendly tone. It's me. It's a very authentic tone. I'm being myself. It's short and to the point, and that's key. You don't want to elaborate here. The idea here is to plant a seed, right? Just like with your traditional warm emails, to prospects, you're trying to get a response. You're not trying to sell the whole idea, right? You're not trying to get the gig right here on the email. There's no hidden agenda, right? I'm clear in this example as to why I'm asking. It's simple. The message and the requests are simple. It's straightforward. And I'm not coming across as I'm begging for work, which again is another key point here. All right. The fourth idea is to take advantage of trigger events. And we've already discussed trigger events in module one. However, I'm going to show you how you can use it with clients rather than with prospects. And the principles are basically the same. And just as a refresher, let me define what a trigger event is, which is really just a big event or a change within an organization or even in that organization's industry that creates an opportunity for you as a freelancer to either get your foot in the door or, if you're already working with that organization, to contact them about how you could potentially help them. And again, the reason trigger events are so important is that they create a certain level of pain or a certain level of need that makes that organization much more receptive to your services. So naturally, you'll need to determine which types of trigger events are worth paying attention to based on what type of work you do and what industries you work in. But use the list that I gave you in module one as an idea starter, right, to get the juices flowing. I've used trigger events many times to contact both clients and prospects about opportunities for me to help them. And one recent example is how I've used it with a client is when a few years ago when the U.S. government enacted food safety legislation that involved better tracking of food ingredients and their origin. So one of my clients sells software that enables food companies to do this more efficiently. So I approached my client about writing a series of articles on the subject. And they liked some of my ideas, and they hired me to write those pieces, to ghostwrite them for one of their executives, which put several thousand dollars in my pocket in just a few weeks. Another great example of someone who uses trigger events to find opportunities is someone I interviewed a couple years ago. His name is Jeremy Schultz, and Jeremy is a graphic designer who specializes in design and illustration for print and web. And one of his differentiators is that he is a beta tester for Adobe, which means that he's part of a team of users out there who test new software for Adobe and provides Adobe with feedback when these releases come out. The main advantage of being a beta tester is that he gets to use their new software months in advance, months before it comes out into the market, which means that he can sell training and consulting for new Adobe products way in advance of the competition. He can also market himself as a top Adobe expert in Iowa, which is his home state. And that's a differentiator to many of his local clients. And here's the kicker. Every time Adobe updates or upgrades some of their products, he can use this as a trigger event to develop new service packages for his clients. So, for example, a few years ago when Adobe announced the release of Creative Suite 5 or CS5, Jeremy began marketing two CS5 consulting packages for companies looking to upgrade. And he figured that companies considering that upgrade could benefit from his input as a creative professional who knows CS5 better than anyone else in the area. And he was right. This move led to a number of client engagements and opportunities, all because he took advantage of a great trigger event. In other words, the upcoming CS5 release. And he used it as a reason to contact clients and prospects. So as you can imagine, the possibilities for email scripts that are based on trigger events are really endless. And how you approach your email really depends on what event you're leveraging. And here's one example of an email script. This is the actual email that I wrote. I think I edited a little bit because I couldn't find the original one, but this is very close to what I sent my client with those story ideas regarding that food safety legislation. So the subject line read, article ideas based on PHASMA. Hi, Jim. The recent pass PHASMA gives us a ton of potential angles on why food and beverage companies can no longer sit on the sidelines when it comes to track and trace technology. Here's just one idea based on this article. And I included a URL to a great news article that I found. This angle is different because it talks about traceability / supply chain information as a competitive advantage at the consumer level rather than as a way to enable regulatory compliance or brand protection. With so many consumers into sustainable or green living, organics, fair trade, local foods, etc., this is certainly becoming a hot topic. And since the business is so competitive, retailers are using this to get an edge. Anyway, I'd love to discuss some article ideas sometime next week if you're interested. The time to get these out in the media is now while the topic is hot and top of mind. Now that I read this, I realize this is exactly the email that I sent out. So this is the exact copy that I sent my client that ended up giving me or turning into so much work. Notice that this one is a little longer than most of the examples that we've been going through in this program. And it doesn't need to be necessarily, but because of what I was proposing, I just felt that I needed to provide a bit more detail. And because it's an existing client, because it's someone I already have a relationship with, I had a little bit more wiggle room in terms of word count. Again, your particular email could vary greatly based on the specific trigger event you're using, but the principles remain the same. Get to the point quickly, be relevant, be as short and concise as possible. Use solid trigger events only, you know, don't stretch it. And tie what you do or your particular service or a particular service that you offer to the event. Don't expect the client to figure it out. You know, time together and just show your value. Show your value and communicate very simply how you could help them overcome this need or gap that they might be faced with. Okay, in the next lesson, we're going to continue this discussion with part two of using warm emails with current and dormant clients. See you there.